fuck it, here goes another home edition of Papa's Basement. I am your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today is me and my two cats passed out next to me. Hopefully they do not wake from their slumber while I'm in the process of recording, because that would be horribly annoying. The last time I recorded at home, they crept all over the damn microphone like a jungle gym, and one of them eventually bent the metal pop filter into the mic, which seemed to short-circuit it somehow for some time. So yeah, here we are, doing the damn thing. It is Sunday around 2 p.m., so I am free of any knowledge regarding what has happened in the football playoffs, the NFL playoffs, the good football, American football, not that queer footy, as you Brits call it, as the rest of the world calls it. That's one of the places America does it right, and I don't give a shit if the rest of the world is against us on that one. That is football. That is the sport, goddammit. I am doing an extra half hour or so, maybe 20-something minutes, to tag on to the front of the episode that I released Thursday, which I think was like a 25-minute home solo recording. Hopefully we can get that combined with what I'm doing right now and make something like a 50-minute-ish recording, because I syndicate to a bunch of guys, including More Like Radio, very cool radio network that gets me out there. So thank you to all the More Like Radio listeners. And if you're hearing me, add me on Twitter, at Papa's Basement, and like me, facebook.com/Papa's Basement. It would be nice to get those numbers up, goddammit. Yeah, so halfway through this episode, if you're listening to the full thing, it will just sound like I've restarted an episode, and I have, because the previous one was just released as a 25-minute thing, and this will probably run as a 25-minute episode as well. And by the way, thank you to everyone who listened to the episode. I had previously asked, because, again, I was recording at home for the first time, if the audio was up to snuff. I can hear myself kind of taking these deep breaths into the microphone, which is gross and disturbing, and again, makes me sound like a fat, winded piece of shit whose lard is plunging into his solar plexus because he is bent over to speak into this desk-mounted microphone. And while that's the truth, I feel it is a bit exaggerated on this microphone. It typically, when I'm recording, I don't think you hear the each time, like I'm slowly getting fucked, like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction in the elevator. I have that panting sound going right now. Maybe it's just because it's a solo thing as well, and I have to do literally all the talking without pauses, so I don't do the Mike Francesa 10 seconds of silence while I sip my diet soda bit. Yeah, so one more time, this is just a bonus segment for those of you that listen to Thursday's show. There will be a new show coming up on Monday that will probably get posted at 5 or 6 because the damn studio is closed half of the day for MLK Day. Open Monday, why am I telling you what day of the week it's open? If I'm recording Monday, it's open Monday. It's open 4 p.m. till 8, so hopefully I'll have something up to you at 5. And sorry if I'm a little out of it. I was up half the goddamn night playing Diablo 3, which is without a doubt the most addictive game I have played since Diablo 2. I don't know if you guys are video game dorks out there. I'm guessing some of you are, some of you aren't. Diablos are the dumbest games in terms of what they require intellectually from you. They really require nothing. I remember Diablo 2 was called Windows the Game because you would simply run around, point, click, kill shit, gain experience, gain levels, click on a new item, get that, run around some more, point and click. I mean, there's no depth to the gameplay. I didn't purchase Diablo 3 for that very reason, for the computer, and also I haven't played a computer game, honestly, in years upon years. I do video games, but computer games, I haven't had a good computer that I feel could run a video game worth a shit, maybe in a decade. At this point, I really, now what I want out of my computer is something that can, like, get me to porn sites and not become rife with viruses immediately. At least give me, like, 1 year before your performance is just dog shit down to a crawl nothingness. That's all I want out of a computer, to actually think that it is capable of performing anything graphically complex is insane. It just needs to run video clips of porn again, send emails, and apparently now record a podcast, which requires nothing of the processor, so we're all good on all of these fronts. I picked up a copy of Diablo 3 maybe 2 months ago for the Xbox 360, and I didn't touch it because it's stupid. For lack of a better word, it is a dumb, dumb game, and all of a sudden, two of my other buddies who own Xboxes have picked it up. I don't really know why. I'm so tired, I can't even remember if it's because I cajoled them into playing. Yes, there's your SAT word of the day, cajole. Or they randomly have purchased it, because it seems weird. It's a little old at this point, maybe 18 months. And with them online, all of a sudden this stupid point-and-click game, because nothing was added in Diablo 3 compared to Diablo 2. You still run around, click on enemies, kill them, and gain gear and level up. It's become crack to me. Like, my mom got on my ass last night when I wrapped up gaming. Yes, I'm an adult who answers to his mom after a late night round of gaming. And she said, "How fucking long did you play that thing?" Because she's all class, just like me. And I thought she was riding my ass unfairly at first. It was about 1:15 in the morning, and I'd been on the phone with the guy I was gaming with the whole day, one of my buddies. And I realized I started the instant my girlfriend checked out, which was like 8:45 p.m., and played a solid, 4 hours, 15 minutes? The game is fucking insidious. I am powerless in the face of it. I woke up the next morning and signed on Xbox, and my buddy was playing it already. I immediately click and join the game, and we banged out another like 90 minutes. No problem. I don't know what I'm going to do in the face of this sort of bullshit. The problem is, with Diablo, as dumb and simple as it is, it gives you everything in life that you won't get in your day-to-day existence. And I'm going to elaborate on that. It maps out a clear course of rewards and what you have to do to gain those rewards. Every level you go up, you gain like an ability or something like that. Your stupid witch doctor can now summon, I don't know, a cloud of mosquitoes or some shit. If you don't like that, just play a little longer. He'll get a new gift at the next level. There's a little bar right at the bottom of the screen indicating how far he has to go. And there's nothing like that in real life. If I sit there and I don't eat bad food for a while, by a while in my life, I mean 4 to 6 hours, it's not like I see a very, very slow incremental loss of my weight. There's nothing in real life that shows you your little sacrifices, the bits of work that you put in, are building to a goddamn thing. Because there's no guarantee it will, in all honesty. I've done this show 6.5 years. I did it at the beginning to get a job in radio, which I achieved maybe 2 years in. Then I got the fuck out of radio. Now what the hell's the show doing for me? I don't even know. It's not even that it's not achieving the goal I want. I don't even fucking know what my goal is. And they wonder why people, especially the Koreans, get lost in online video games. And like, you'll get an article every 6 months about a Korean couple letting their baby starve to death because they were completely immersed in the World of Warcraft or whatever the fuck. These games are insidious, man. There is no corollary to how good you feel playing these in real life in terms of sense of accomplishment, something completely mapped out. Only the most anal retentive people have a complete goal list. If I do this, it'll lead to this, it'll lead to this, and then I'll finally achieve this. Who really does that in real life? No one, certainly not me. I just kind of like doing this show. It's fun to talk. It's fun to hone my craft. What is the real purpose of it? I don't know. Radio is dying. Oh God, the fucking cat's on the loose. Hold on, I have to pause the mic. He's scenting it again. Forgive the unheard 5-minute cat pause, the big orange one who totally derailed my recording session last time. Again, I am fucking tired, people. I am not joking about that. I was up way late, well beyond the 1 a.m. my gaming stopped. I was awake. So the cat is busy licking his sister, hopefully in a non-sexual way. Let's look over, because I can only hear the licking. Yes, he is licking the side of her cheek, and it is fucking precious. I love those two cats. I own two sibling cats, and it's great how, in the blink of an eye, their kissing goes from adorable to fucking perverted, because they'll go down on each other, not in a sexual way, just to clean. Once in a while, it's, hey, let me rim you, because there's a brown speck there that's been hanging there for a week, and it's annoyed me, brother. And, yeah, that's it kind of ruins the purity and adorable nature that they can bring to the table when you see that going down. I stayed up watching 6 Feet Under after the Diablo session. I know I'm about 10 years late to that party, but I it's one of those HBO shows. I know that HBO in general puts out a quality product. They did Sopranos, shocker. I'm not going to bore you and actually run down the list of the good shit HBO has done. More often than not, they have success. Like right now, True Detective on HBO, fucking amazing. It's one episode in. If you haven't seen it, tune in now. I believe it's airing tonight at 9, and then you got your girls at 10, and then Looking at 10:30, a show about gay gentlemen in San Fran. And you know what? I'll be talking about Looking on air tomorrow, because bet your sweet ass I'll be watching the shit out of some Looking. HBO just does not miss. I don't care what the subject matter is. Do I have much in common with the cruising gay men of San Francisco? I mean, other than my flamboyant homosexuality, not so much. But looking forward to the show regardless, because those guys just do a good fucking job with the show. But I was noticing something on 6 Feet Under that was also mentioned on CNN today. I'm going to bring all these disparate. I hate when I mispronounce a big word. I sound like a fucking athlete behind a mic. Disparate things. I'm going to bring them all together. On CNN, I learned that The Bachelor called gays, quote, more pervert, I believe. I'm going to read the exact quote. The Bachelor is, of course, in hot water because you can't really say anything about any ethnic group whatsoever unless it is a white ethnic group like the French, and then it's just hilarious. I'm presenting that without comment. It is simply, I think, a fact none of us can really debate. The guy this year is Juan Pablo Galavis. I don't watch the show. I don't know how that's actually pronounced. He's a Venezuelan soccer star. That guy is going to get poon. I guarantee you he is a hit. Oh, I'm looking at him right now. He looks kind of like Bradley Cooper, actually. I don't know how he's all that Venezuelan, but whatever. Maybe that was racist of me to say that I expect all Latino people to be dark. So, where's the exact quote? He said something to the effect of, God damn it. There's this thing about gay people, the Juan Pablo Montoya, or whatever the fuck his actual name said. It seems to me, you know, that I don't know if I'm mistaken or not. So far, flawless English. I have a lot of friends like that, but they're more pervert, in a sense. And to me, the show would be too strong, too hard to watch on TV. Now, gay groups are, of course, in an uproar, as they have to automatically be, because he used gay and pervert in the same sentence. And his defense is, it doesn't mean the same thing in Spanish, that pervert means strong. So the show would be too intense and too passionate, is what he meant to say about the gays. Now, I don't know if the gay people would say, hey, you might have not have called us perverts, but we don't exactly like being characterized as overtly passionate types. Maybe there are some very dispassionate gays. Hell, that guy from Big Bang Theory, he doesn't strike me as a particularly passionate gay. He's all nerdy and like borderline autistic. And I know he's playing a character, but he doesn't seem that different from the character in real life. Sheldon, whatever the fuck his real name is. I don't know. I've seen 3 Big Bangs while I do the, you know, Stairmaster for 20 minutes in the fucking gym. Don't I sound manly right now? Aren't I presenting just an airtight case of my own heterosexuality? It does remind me, a couple of years ago, I think Schwarzenegger got in trouble when he was mentioning black and Latin groups, and he said they all had fiery blood in them, so things got very passionate, and both black and Latin groups got very pissed about it, because I suppose we're not supposed to... I don't think there's anything even negative about calling someone very passionate, but they objected that they were characterized in any sort of way, shape, or form as being predetermined to have any kind of personality trait. So there you go. What got to me about this is CNN then puts up an article saying, where did it go? Damn it. Come on, article. Okay. Basically, they're putting out the point that are Latinos unfairly stereotyped in the media as being passionate and fiery and all that fun shit. And I don't like that their article limited it to Latinos. Because when you really get down to it, I believe the only group that is allowed to simply be on TV as they are white guys. White people. In general, like, only white characters, when you really think about it, predominantly white cast, mind you, are allowed to be nuanced and have depth and not really have to explain things in light of their ethnicity. There's never, like, a white guy who's drunk walking around in dumb shoes, and it's like, well, what did you expect of me? I'm Dutch and Irish. He's just a white guy. And this all gets back to me watching the 6 Feet Under show, because the episode I banged out at about 3:30, 4 in the morning when I should have been sleeping, when any normal person would have been sleeping, and I thought to myself, fuck it, it's Saturday, this is how I rebel, even though I'm 32 goddamn years old, and I shouldn't feel the need to stay up to prove I'm a big boy, and yet I've never outgrown that. As long as I've been alive, on a weekend, I fucking get off on staying awake as long as I can, and it sucks because I can't sleep in. For the life of me, I'll wake up at the same fucking time if I'd gone to bed at, like, midnight. I just can't get past 9 a.m.-ish. It really sucks. But I watched an episode where an old black dude loses his old black wife. And the entire time, the black guy is incredibly, like, loud and mean to the white people who run the undertaker's shop, if you will, the undertaker service that is burying his wife. And, like, at one point he bursts in the place, which is the workplace, which doubles as their home. And the young white daughter, I forget what ugly fuck Ginger plays her, she's screaming because he's not allowed to be there. But then he pulls the whole, like, I'm old and black card. And immediately everyone's just chuckling. And it's like, oh, well, we'll let this old black guy do his thing because he's old and black. And thus his outbursts are just precious. They're not an actual person acting up. He's just old and black. And that's what they do. And later in the episode, he coughs up some homespun wisdom. And it wasn't really so much because he's old, because there's dumb old fucks on the show. It's, again, they're playing the old black card. This old black guy wasn't allowed to just mourn as a person. He had to mourn as an old black person. And it's weirder because on the show, there's actually a gay cop character who's black dude, and he fucks the shit out of the dude who plays Dexter, by the way. That's hilarious. I'm only 5 episodes in, so I don't know if that keeps up, but I love the fact that Dexter's a queer in 6 Feet Under. If you want to chuckle, that just fire up the first couple episodes. You'll see Dexter making out with a big, bald black cop, and it's hilarious. Not to mention sexy. So, the bald black cop is really allowed to not to act black, if you will. He just acts like a dude. They don't define him as, even though he's gay and black, he gets to just act normally. And it's refreshing. And it's weird that they felt the need to old black up the old black guy, because they've obviously not got a problem with the old, you know, or the young black cop not being all flamboyantly gay or very, very quote unquote black about his mannerisms in the show. And it gets back to the point that 6 Feet Under just had a white cast. There would be no... There is not a chance in hell that you could make a show like 6 Feet Under with an all-black cast and then not have to point at the fact you had an all-black cast or an all-Latin cast or whatever 24/7. You would have to black it up or Asian it up or Latin it up. And it's just kind of sad in Hollywood that white people are the only ones getting that ability to just play themselves. They don't have to answer to their ethnicity in every fucking episode. Whenever the white people on 6 Feet Under are doing something, again, it's never because they're white. That's just because who they are. And yet those same characters, if they were black, would have to explain things in light of being black. Mark my words, man. That is just the truth. And I don't really think there's an easy solution to it. I wrote about this on the website In Papa's Basement a bunch. Go check it out. I think the review of Ride Along talked about this in depth, how black comedies in general have to be this dumb shit, lowest common denominator fare. And I'm not saying it doesn't play to both black and white audiences. It's just that you'll never see something like a black Seinfeld, or at least we haven't seen it yet. You're not going to see any sort of black Woody Allen type shit. And I get it, black people aren't Jewish, but there could be something creative and witty there for a minority cast. And yet, anytime you actually see a black comedy, it's something like Beauty Shop with Queen Latifah. It's just dumb, middle-of-the-road safe shit that you're going to be seeing on TBS in like 12 months, over and over. If I were black or otherwise quote-unquote ethnic, it would frustrate the living fuck out of me that the only good roles I could get were like as bit parts on white people shows. Like J.B. Smoove in Curb Your Enthusiasm. He fucking kills it. He's amazing in that shit, and yet he's amazing within the context of this Larry David white person show. If I were him, I would just be kind of... I don't want to speak for the dude. It would just maybe be annoying that would be the extent of the role I had. And before we end the John's discussion of race power hour that fit into a 25-minute span because it's currently 2:59 on Sunday, and fuck me, I just want to watch the Broncos game. Go Peyton. I think we can all laugh at Madonna's latest fuck up, her faux pas, that really kind of blew my mind, because Madonna for the longest time was a smart, smart chick when it came to reading the pulse of America and being able to figure out exactly what buttons to push for attention. And really, when you think all the way back to her sex book and everything else she's done, her videos, she always knew the right ways to titillate, to excite, to push buttons. She never seemed out of touch or out of step. And it was never too far. It was never like, oh, Madonna, I'm letting a dog cut a log into my open mouth. It was always just a little bit, you know, like a black Jesus in the Like a Prayer video, things of that nature. She got in deep shit. And again, I say deep shit because I'm conditioned to say deep shit. Did Madonna actually get in one fucking lick of trouble for what happened here? No. No one gives a flying hell. No sponsors are going to cancel. Nothing's going to happen to Madonna. And yet the media has to act like she's in quote unquote deep shit. Because I think on Instagram, she posted a photo of her kid. Was it Rocco Ritchie? So this is the kid she had with director Guy Ritchie. And it's a picture of him boxing a 13-year-old. I didn't click it because I don't need to see a 13-year-old boxing. Sure. And if you're an Opie and Anthony fan, I hope you enjoyed that. She captioned it saying, I don't know what the fuck she said, but she ends the caption with the hashtag disnigga, D-I-S-N-I-G-G-A. And of course, people lose their fucking shit because where does nigga enter into the equation? It's not like she captioned it this nigger, which would at least make it kind of wildly funny. But there's nothing nigga about a half British, half Italian kid. I know as a fellow Mediterranean, I like to view myself as something slightly different than white. But you know who doesn't see us that way? Black people. So when you hashtag dis nigga on a half British, half Italian kid, it's probably going to go over like a stone balloon. Now, she immediately goes back and deletes it, and then, I believe, captioned the next picture, which was just the same photo reposted, get off my dick, or something to that effect. But it blows my mind. Now, she should be able to say whatever the fuck she wants. It's stupid that she's in trouble. It's just really funny to me that Madonna would make such a misstep, because whether or not she, you know, feels she can, and obviously she can use this word, she's a woman where 15 years ago, you get the vibe she would have read correctly whether or not she could quote-unquote get away with using that word. Obviously, you can't. You can use it in private company to your heart's content, I suppose. White, here, I'll let you in on a secret, black people. White people love saying my nigga to each other. It is hilarious. And then it gets really awkward when your black friend walks in and hears you saying it. That one poor token black friend. I just don't get, even me, I love dropping N-bombs left and right. I'm doing it 5 times on the show right now. Why does the little kid have to be called nigga? N-I-G-G-A. He's just a 13-year-old dude. Wouldn't you say hashtag proud mom? Hashtag go my son? I don't get hashtag dis nigga for her little boxing kid. It's just confusing to me. Shit, it is 3:03. I am punching out of this episode right now. I'm going to mix it down and upload it. You guys will be hopefully getting this on Monday. And I am going to watch me some fucking Broncos. Take it easy. And right after this, you're going to hear the start of the episode I put up Thursday. So don't get confused. It's just another 25-minute thing I did on my own. Bye. Dun, 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 da-da-da-dun, dun, dun. Da-da-da. Yeah, I'm not going to be putting in the actual opening music today, so I figured that would be the closest you're going to get, and maybe you need that, kind of a classical conditioning thing. You hear those strains of Gray Sky Eternal, and you think to yourself, well, now that is the beginning of a Papa's Basement episode. And that is indeed what you are listening to. This is Papa's Basement. I am John Papa Giorgio. I am joined today by no one. I am doing my first solo show in several years at this point, and it is also my first home show, which I'm not sure if I'm cool with yet. I'm exploring that. We'll get to it in a second. I'm definitely going to want you guys to tell me if the audio quality is good enough for you, because that's what we strive for here on Papa's Basement, good enough. I am adjusting the pop filter on my little Blue brand microphone as we speak, a Blue Yeti, I believe. The show's website's inpapasbasement.com. You can go there for my writing. Typically every Friday I try to review a movie that I haven't seen, because I am not part of the press and I have no special privileges, and I do not care to run out and see a movie on a busy Friday. So why let the prejudice of actually seeing a picture get in the way of writing about it? Also, every Monday and every Thursday, I try to have a new episode up. I know that the Thursdays especially have been shaky as of late. I've been working on that. Not exactly my fault. Allison, whom you haven't heard on the show for a while, I believe has been having monstrous car problems. Either that or she has found a fantastic lie for getting out of ever having to record the show with me again. But this might shock you, her piece of shit 280,000 miles on it VW from, like, I don't know, an era back when the Counting Crows were popular, unironically. It is an old vehicle that is having issues and is apparently currently not drivable. So hopefully she can get that taken care of and she can come back on the show, because I need more co-hosts. I need more people who can get behind the mic with me and help out. I'm down to just Howard, and he's good for one episode a week, plus the football show, which is hosted over at pfpod.com, but he is not good for 2 episodes of Papa's Basement and 1 episode of Papa's Football Podcast. So that is why lately you guys have been suffering, as it were, or maybe the show sucks, and it's been a blessing in disguise that I haven't been able to produce more of it. Like I said before, I'm recording this on the Blue Yeti microphone, which, again, every time I say Yeti, I think of Marcel the Grocer, who said Little Yeti from Seinfeld, the episode where Jerry and Kramer get into cockfighting. God bless that show. I acquired this off of Craigslist, like I do everything in my life, from cats to Xbox games to sexual partners. I bought it off a nice gentleman by the name of Jose, who was I wanted to say barback, and then I almost slipped up and said wetback. Oh, egg would have been on my face. Jose was, he works at some restaurant locally, and I met him out back, and I acquired this microphone from him for a fraction of its retail price, and I'm happy to say that so far it has been working just fine, as well as I suppose one can expect a USB-grade microphone to work. I know that doesn't mean much to you guys who are listening at home, but USB microphones are, I would say, definitely a notch below the typical equipment I work with. I usually am recording at some sort of radio studio or another, and they use what's called XLR technology, which is code for better than the piece of shit that you can afford and plug into your computer. I don't know if there is a huge difference in sound quality, in all honesty. I know that the USB mic means I can pretty much just do a solo show at the moment, so that's a little annoying, but I only had one person to do this with me anyhow today, and I didn't want to drive into the studio. So screw it. Here I am, attempting a show home show, ta-da. So far, I'm kind of liking it, except I really don't know how any podcaster is able to focus for more than a few seconds within the confines of their house, because I'm literally in my room right now, where all of my cool shit is located. I have an Xbox 2 feet behind me. I've got one of my two cats, because I am a gay male. I have one of my two cats right to my right. The other is lurking Christ knows where. I was figuring at first maybe it would be hilarious that one of them would be on my lap for the recording, and I could do it in the fashion of a Bond villain. And then I realized cats love scenting shit. They live for it. And literally, as soon as I picked up the mic and put it on my desk, which is where I've had to leave it, by the way, while I record, so I'm kind of hunched over, which is wedging my fat gut into my diaphragm. So if I sound rather panty or out of breath throughout the show, it's because my lungs can't expand because my sausage rolls are getting pressed into them. I definitely need to get in better shape, I suppose, if I am going to keep recording from home. But the cats were jumping on my desk immediately, never you mind that the mic has been in their face for weeks on the floor. The instant it is up on the desk, it is something new to be scented all over again. And this might shock you, but a cat rubbing its goddamn fangs across a metal microphone makes for a hell of a noise. Not even a background noise. It was far stronger in the recording than my own voice. So hopefully they got their fill of that. I let them scent the living hell out of it for 10 minutes, and then I kind of shooed them away. Again, I've got the one chewing on my blanket next to me. The other is Christ knows where, knocking over Christ knows what. I'm crossing my fingers that we are good for the majority of the episode. I'm also not entirely sure how long I am going to be able to go today. I'd like to think that a charming hallmark of my production, but again, this could be horrendously annoying, is that I typically don't do a bunch of show prep. I don't want to completely lock myself in to what I'm going to be talking about for the day. And usually that's okay. It gives the show a bit of a conversational style, but unless you are a complete psychopath, it is very hard to have a conversation with oneself. So I did do a smattering of show prep today. Yes, smattering was the word of the day on my calendar. And I'm going to start by getting into the movie Her, which I actually gave one of my Jive cursory, reviewed it without watching it, reviews this Friday. And I said, you know what? Spike Jonze is a pretentious anus. I don't really know if he's a bad dude, by the way. He just looks like every white hipster douche ever. And I went on the record saying that I'm a fan of everything that I've seen from him. Adaptation is pretty good. I remember enjoying the hell out of Being John Malkovich, even if I was slightly annoyed that the media seemed to be going nuts for it. And I did not see Where the Wild Things Are because I don't have a kid to take to that movie. and I would never sit through it on HBO because there are things like Netflix which could cover for me if that is all that's on TV. So I took the girlfriend to see her. It's one of those flicks, you know, it's a romance in its own weird way. For those unfamiliar with the plot, Joaquin Phoenix, Joaquin, however the hell you spell his name, he falls in love with his Siri-like operating system, who is voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And the movie is, I suppose, a meditation on artificial intelligence, what love truly is, really what consciousness is. And it did a great job. I'm really happy that I didn't go out there and take a massive shit on it, because I would have looked quite the fool. Once again, Spike Jones has done his job. Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know why that guy doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's really good in this. And when you think about it, when have you seen a movie where Joaquin Phoenix is not great? He was superb as Johnny Cash in Walk the Line. I think, who is he, Commodus and Gladiator? I can't think of much else I've seen him in. I think Ladder 49 he was in. Don't remember the character name. Just one of those things you see at 5 a.m. after a night out. And he's never been less than great. He even had that weird I'm Still Here kind of Andy Kaufman-esque performance art piece, which I didn't see. I'm going to stay away from that because that could get me to eat my every word that I'm stating right now about him being amazing. But I like the dude. And he shines in this. In terms of people we actually see on screen, there's also Amy Adams, who I'm not going to ever go out there and say Amy Adams is a stone cold fox. She's a 10. By Hollywood standards, she's, I would say, a 6.5 or a 7, which means in the real world, she's a 10. Never think otherwise, by the way. Hollywood people are so much prettier than any of us. That is just science and the law. But in this flick, maybe it was particularly jarring because I had seen American Hustle the week before, and she, Amy Adams, looked as amazing as I've ever seen her look. That movie is the entire wardrobe for the girls, dresses that go open neck to, like, I don't know, right before where their 70s bush started. It almost looks like jumpsuits from the future. Except, I guess that's how people dressed in the 70s with their fucking... It's like, you not only get the cleavage completely visible, because it looks almost like they're wearing that Doctor Who scarf that a priest throws around his neck. It's like, that is their top. You just pulled two halves of a scarf down over your tits, and that's what you wear out. It's no big deal. Also, completely visible nipples and areolas through these tops. So, truly, the next time you think the 2010s are the best because we have cell phones, realize there was a time you could go out to a club and get spank bank material for a lifetime in the span of maybe 45 minutes and probably do some cocaine in the bathroom while you're out there. So I see Amy Adams in American Hustle and she looks killer. As good as Amy Adams is ever going to look. And then, I'm not spoiling anything, Amy Adams has one of the bigger roles in Her, and she could not look uglier and frumpier. I swear to Christ, look up Amy Adams, I'm hoping to God that's her name, by the way. If I'm fucking this up, I sound like five kinds of horse dick right now. Amy Adams in Her, and then look up Dave Foley, Kids in the Hall. Because I swear to Christ, they look like they... I don't even want to say they look like they could be brother and sister. Amy Adams in Her looks like Dave Foley doing a character on Kids in the Hall. You have to check it out. It's a horrible dick killer. I'm telling you right now. Especially if you open another tab and then look up Amy Adams American Hustle. It will kill your dick. It's Viagra times -1. It'll never work again. And especially if you're looking at her, especially if you're like a sexually a fan of hers, Do not see her. Those are the only people I would caution against watching this film. If you think Amy Adams is sexy, don't fucking touch her, because she could not look less appetizing in this film. Now, on the opposite end of sexy, the sexy spectrum, as it were, in her. Sorry, that was the sound of me moving the keyboard out of my lap that you probably just heard, because yes, I am pausing these recordings every couple of minutes so I can get up and take a sip of water and actually get a breath in, because again, my gut is pressing into my diaphragm. That wasn't me trying to be clever. I think my fingers and lips are turning blue about 5 minutes into this recording, so I'm having to take breaks as often as possible. My lord, it sounds like I am already losing brain tissue to hypoxia. I know she's just a voice in this movie, but Jesus Christ, Scarlett Johansson is sexy. Just her damn voice. Take those killer lips, that amazing ass, and the tits of Minerva herself out of the picture. That is a sexy broad. Voice alone, it's mind-blowing. There is a scene. All right, shut this off. I guess it's a mild spoiler. It really isn't, though. You'd have to be stupid to think that a man falling in love with someone or something isn't going to try to fuck it. So, of course, ScarJo and Emperor Commodus, Joaquin himself, have phone sex rather early into the film. And I don't know really the artistic decision behind it, but Spike Jonze drops the visuals for, I want to say, 30 seconds during this scene. It's on par with the old Sopranos finale, where things just go to black for 10 seconds. They slowly fade out, and it lingers in complete darkness so long, you're like, okay, did the fucking projector break? Because the whole time, you just hear ScarJo having goddamn phone sex with Joaquin Phoenix. And I'll be honest, man, I was at full chub hearing this. Not half chub. And I got the girlfriend next to me. I don't know what the hell she's thinking. It was hot as shit. Joaquin's Phoenix, who gives a fuck? I don't care. That guy could burst into flame. It could just be ScarJo's half of the conversation. So I don't know if she was getting aroused by this as well. Whatever. If she was, God bless. It is so sexy. I am dying to get my hands on the home version of this, or just the fucking audio. Because with the visual gone, you realize this isn't a goddamn role she's playing. This is literally what you would hear if you were having sex with and or phone sexing Scarlett Johansson. It is the most intense thing. I loved it. I was plump in the pants, if you know what I mean. I'm talking about my dick. It was awesome. It's the audio equivalent of a chick filming, like a porn star filming one of those like POV porns where it's all set up so it's like the view you would get if their tits. Uh-oh. Cat across the microphone. Hold on, I have to pause. Hi, Buster. Hello. Maybe I'll just pet my cat on air for 30 seconds. That'll be some compelling radio. Ooh, he hopped off the desk. Good boy. Good boy, kitty. Now get your tail off the mic. It was amazing. I also like that my cat is sitting on my lap, and I got mildly worked back up talking about this scene. It was that damn good. Seriously, if you're going to see the movie and you're bummed out you're not going to see ScarJo's tits, I swear to Christ, this is, call me a freak, this is easily on par in a completely unexpected way, the sexual enjoyment you are going to derive from this scene. It is fan-fucking-tastic. Isn't it right, kitty? Yes, I'm now talking about tits while petting my cat. What perverted innocence. All right, I now currently have the cat in my lap, the big orange one, the broken arrow, as it were, the one I wasn't able to account for. And he is purring away. I hope it's not picking up on mic. I guess I am testing the cardioid setting on my Blue, which is supposed to keep the mic gunned in one direction right at my mouth and not pick up all the background noise. But Who's your good boy? Yes, I am literally petting a cat while recording a radio broadcast. I don't know if this is the greatest discovery on Earth or that which is going. I think I may have been interrupted in the middle of a word questioning whether or not it would be a good thing if my cat hopped in my lap. He then proceeded to nuzzle the microphone, touch the pop filter, which is a big piece of, I guess you would call it, chicken wire with a screen over it to keep the mic from shitting itself every time I go puh, puh, puh into it. And he managed to touch that to the mic itself, which immediately made it sound like it was short-circuiting and froze the recording. So that was awesome. And I guess we got to the bottom of whether or not this whole recording from home thing is a good idea, especially with one's cat in their lap. I'm going to wrap up talking about her just by saying I really appreciated the fact that the future was not some completely far-off abstraction. It wasn't Blade Runner or 2001. I think you had projector TVs instead of widescreen, like something was projected onto your wall, and video games were controlled in a Kinect sort of manner, and our phones flipped out into these little, it almost looked like a woman's makeup compact. That was about it. That was really it in terms of the differences. No flying cars. None of that bullshit. Oh, and hipsters. Hipsters were still everywhere, and they wore very, very high-seamed pants. I guess you'd call it high-seamed. A high waistband. Like, that. Everyone looked like an old man, even at age 30. But that was it. I know it's the gold standard in movies depicting the future, especially the dystopian shit, to go with Blade Runner. But I'm gonna go out on a limb right here. Blade Runner sucked in terms of depicting the future. It was a great film, don't get me wrong. But we don't have flying cars, we don't live in pyramids, and there aren't just smokestacks belching flame into the heavens. And I think Ridley Scott set that in, what, like 2020 or some shit like that? We don't have... It would take a miracle for our world to look like that. But in her, things remain just... They don't really name the time. And we're able to look at that and go, I could see that being the future. I could see hipsters getting even more douchily dressed. I could see my widescreen TV. If you don't stop fucking biting me, I will crack your goddamn teeth out. And then how are you going to eat your food? That's right. Knock it off. You can guess who I was talking to there. He's little and orange and sits on my lap. There was an easy joke to be made there, and it just sailed right over my head, because it is not simple doing a solo show, especially with this little fucker using me like a jungle gym. I love the fact that they didn't go too wild with the future in her, and it left you open to explore, again, what artificial intelligence will be capable of in the near future. And it just seems so real that not too long from now, when artificial intelligence does achieve some sort of consciousness of its own, people will fall for it. And there are some people who judged those that were in a relationship with their OS, as it were, and other people were completely cool with it. And I loved it. I loved it. Oh, it's got Andy from Community. If you're a big Andy fan, I enjoy me some Andy. Andy was in Community, and he was great. I think I'm going to punch this show to a close because the cat is getting restless. And frankly, I just want to fuck around and play with my cat and play Xbox and not record. But we are going to be on a regular recording schedule, hopefully next week. I am going to start booking some guests in the studio, former coworkers of mine from my radio days, to help do the show with me. And fingers crossed that we'll get some good hour-long episodes out to you guys. I thank you very much for being patient with me in the meantime. And I hope this short episode kind of hit the spot just a little bit. If it scratched that itch even slightly, then I'm happy. And please tell me how the audio quality was on this mic, because if it's good, I will go ahead with setting up some sort of home studio so that I don't have to drive my ass out to the goddamn radio studio 15 miles from my house anytime I want to record. Again, I'm John Papagiorgio. This is Papa's Basement. Show's website is inpapasbasement.com. New episodes of the show every Monday and every Thursday. Again, I'm hoping that's going to be with much more regularity, as it has been for several years previously. We've been in a bit of a rough patch the last month or so. Visit the site, find us on iTunes, look up papasbasement.com. I'm sorry, just look up Papa's Basement. If you look up papasbasement.com, Apple shit search engine won't find anything for you. Also look up Papa's Football Podcast if you're on iTunes. The show's website there is pfpod.com. And last but not least, the show I do with my buddy Jerry. Sorry, it's a comic. TheSpookiesComic.com. I'm obviously focusing more on petting my cat and not accidentally touching his asshole while doing that instead of wrapping this up. And for that, I apologize. Hopefully it was good, and I will talk to you guys on Monday with a full lengther. Take care. Haha, full lengther.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way.